Hey everybody, tonight we will be going over Leviticus 22. A little reminder also, if you guys are watching, Sacraments Sunday.
Yes.
We're going to remind everybody on the Wednesday before. So Leviticus 22, we'll go ahead and read it, verses, actually we'll pray for it, sorry. Father God, we just pray for the word today. That we just pray it would saturate our hearts. There's lots of truth here. Some of it we had to do some digging, but it's there. So I just pray it speaks to us in edification for us to apply this to our life today. Yes. And the meaning that it means then and what it means now. In Jesus' name. So Leviticus, I'm saying, it's like a tongue twister. Leviticus 22, verses 1 to 2.
It happens.
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto Aaron and to his sons, that they separate themselves from the holy things of the children of Israel. And that they, I'm going to jump over to NASB. Sorry, for you KGV folks. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Tell Aaron and his sons to be careful with the holy gifts of the sons of Israel, which they dedicate to me, so as not to profane my holy name. I am the Lord. Say to them, I am the Lord. These gifts were, when speaking about these holy gifts, these gifts were the ones that were put on the altar, like the wave offering and such. That they weren't like the ones that were put on the altar. They were consumed by the priests, like food. But it was crucial that they weren't unclean. For us as believers, it says, we have to be careful how we walk, not as unwise people, but as wise. Again, making the most of our time, because the days are evil. And that's Ephesians 6:15. It has to do with just basically being careful. So when we go about our what we do for God, it's just there should be a level of carefulness. You know, how often do we ever really think about our lives being careful as we walk through our lives? There is that fear of God that should be in us. We don't get enough of that today. I've seen even just certain people. I follow a lot of like weightlifting videos, and this one weightlifting guy, he got like, I think he's up to 500,000 subscribers, and God had risen him up to a place of like crazy amounts and so forth, the views, and he was just like, I'm here for a message. I'm here to, you know, to give the message. You know, God has put me in this place. And I was like, all right, awesome. You know, and then I started seeing things in these videos. And I'm like, I think God will kick him in the rear end. He's definitely saved. But it's just kind of being careful is one of the things that kind of came to mind. I'm just, especially when you're being put forth in front of so many people. This is a representation. Verses 3 to 7 says, Say to them, if any man among all of your descendants throughout your generations approaches the holy gifts, which the sons of Israel dedicated to the Lord, while he has an uncleanliness, that person shall be cut off before me. I am the Lord. No man of the descendants of Aaron who is a leper, or who has a discharge, may eat of the holy gifts until he is clean. And if one touches anything made unclean by a corpse, or if a man has seminal emission, or if a man touches any teeming things by which he is made unclean, or any man by whom he is made unclean, whatever is uncleanliness, a person who touches any such shall be unclean until evening, and shall not eat of the holy gifts unless he has bathed his body in water. Throughout our lives, there's a lot of deadness around us, a lot of dead things, living in a sort of decaying world, a corrupt world, as pretty as we see it decorated, still dying, and we can get wrapped up in things. And the thing that we see throughout the scriptures many times is God sort of having us wait in his presence and be washed by his word. So there's a reality in the midst that we have to wait on God, and we have to be washed.
Yes.
We're going to go to Ephesians 6, 26. Really quick. Oh, I'm sorry. Did I get that right? My fault. I'm sorry, Pastor Mike. It was the washing of the washing.
The washing of the water, and I'm trying to.
I must have gotten that mixed up.
Was it 5?
I think it might be 5.
Yeah. 25.
5:25. Yeah, I got a chapter wrong there. Sorry, gang.
Yeah.
And you know, I kind of like this has obviously to do with, you know, it says husbands love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her so that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of the water with the word, that he might present to himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she would be holy and blameless. So this is actually a really good chapter, because it kind of reminds us how we are to be careful and how we walk throughout throughout our lives.
Good point.
I think God wanted me to come back, as I was reading this, to come back to Ephesians 1. And I'll go ahead and read through this first little part here. It says, therefore be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. But immorality or any impurity or greed must not be named among you, as is proper among saints, and there must be no filthiness, silly talk, or coarse jesting, which is not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know with certainty, that no immoral or impure person or covetous man who is an idolater has an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ of God. And it kind of brought me to even verse 6 here. It says, let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them, for you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. So it continues on there. It's just an interesting sort of like reminder of walking in carefulness. But he brought me through verse 6. It was mostly talking about empty words, how so much of Christianity today is a lot of empty words. You know, it's like this talk of just empty words, like talking Christianese and so forth. And for us to truly be submitted to God.
That's good.
So we'll go back to Leviticus 22. As a believer in Christ, there will be times when you become unclean, whether it's simply living in an unclean world and touching unclean things, just being defiled in your mind, or a direct disobedience causing you to defile yourself. That's why we bathe in God's water, his word.
That's right.
When you have become unclean in your spirit, the way to cleanse yourself is with the water of God's word. And what this means is that you come to the word of God and it convicts you, and then it changes your behavior, which then cleanses the area of defilement.
Yeah.
We need better discernment in regards to defilement. As believers, we need to have a godly discernment, a godly conviction, so as to have a clear sense of things that can defile us, as well as when we have become defiled, to better understand how to bathe ourselves in God's word, thus regaining our purity. So in regards to, for instance, when Jesus was talking to the Pharisees, it's important to understand when Jesus called the Pharisees whitewashed tombs full of dead men's bones. He was implying that these men of God were not only defiled, but also they were a source. Verses 8 and 9. He shall not eat an animal. Wait a minute. Hold on a second. Did I skip something? No, I didn't. Sorry, guys. He shall not eat an animal which dies or is torn by beasts, becoming unclean by it. I am the Lord. They shall therefore keep my charge, so that they will not bear sin because of it and die. Thereby, because they profane it, I am the Lord who sanctifies them. Again, a reminder of who sanctifies us, not us, God. Sometimes in the midst of doing God's will, there will be times where there's going to be sin and we're going to need to cleanse. But at the same time, we have to be aware of what is what, and that's where we have to discern through God's word. There is a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof is death. Proverbs 14:12. This is also speaking of only eating what has been given by God, which is relative to us, and that it shows us that we must be careful so as to understand the vision that is of God and what is not of God's vision. Verses 10. No layman, however, is to eat the holy gift. Now, layman, if you guys are wondering what layman means, layman is sort of like the average person, not a priest or anything. No layman, however, is to eat the holy gift. A sojourner with a priest or a hired man shall not eat of the holy gift. But if a priest buys a slave as his property with his money, and that one may eat of it, and those who are born in his house may eat of his food. If a priest's daughter is married to a layman, she shall not eat of the offerings of the gifts. But if a priest's daughter becomes a widow or divorced, and has no children, and returns to her father's house, as in her youth, she shall eat of her father's food. But no layman shall eat of it. But if a man eats a holy gift unintentionally, then he shall add to it a fifth of it and shall give the holy gift to the priest. They shall not profane the holy gifts of the sons of Israel, which they offer to the Lord, and so cause them to bear punishment for guilt by eating their holy gifts. For I am the Lord who sanctifies them. Verse 17 says, then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to Aaron and to his sons, and all to the sons of Israel, and say to them, any man of the house of Israel, or of the alien in Israel who presents his offering, whether it is any of their votive or any of their freewill offerings, which they present to the Lord for the burnt offering, for you to be accepted, it must be a male without defect from the cattle, the sheep, or the goats. Whatever has a defect, you shall not offer, for it will not be accepted for you. When the man offers a sacrifice of peace offering to the Lord, to fulfill a special vow, or for a freewill offering, of the herd or of the flock, it must be perfect to be accepted. There shall be no defect in it. Those that are blind or fractured or maimed or having a running sore or eczema or scabs, you shall not offer to the Lord, nor make of them an offering by fire on the altar of the Lord. What we offer to God must not be defective. This speaks in reality of what we sacrifice to the Lord. It must not be damaged in regards to what the believer is giving. Sacrificially, which means giving our best and what is of value to us, just as the widow put in her last penny. It also speaks of giving something we value versus giving something we might have thrown away. This can also apply, like, for instance, for our time, which can our time with God, which we include, which we can include that we give to God in regards to our time in prayer. When you make a prayer time, do you simply give to God spare time, which was the leftovers, to where you would have just sat around being a couch potato, or do you give quality time to God, spend time with the Lord? Do we prepare for church? When it comes to your time in church, do you make sure you prepare for service as to get enough sleep the night before so you come in fully ready to worship, fresh and ready? Sometimes people may have a shift at work that causes them to get their sleep later that they would have liked to, you know, got some more time and need prayer for divine rest so as to be refreshed when they arrive. Do you mentally prepare for church? And what this means is when you come into that sanctuary, is your mind and your thoughts focused on the moment, or in your mind everything else, you know, outside of service? Verses 23 says, in respect to an ox or lamb, which has an overgrown or stunted member, you may present it for a freewill offering, but for a vow it will not be accepted. So there is a difference between a free will offering and a vow. Free will offering is not required by God, but is accepted by God. But a vow needs an offering that is without defect. In the same way, all the vows we make in Christ, which was and is the perfect Lamb of God.
That's right.
Thank you, Jesus. And it's so that your vow is to Him and held through His perfect sacrifice. Verses 24 or 25. Also, anything with its testicles bruised or crushed or torn or cut, you shall not offer to the Lord or sacrifice in your land, nor shall you accept any such from the hand of a foreigner for offering as the food of your God, for their corruption is in them. They have a defect. They shall not be accepted for you. So obviously foreigners usually means unbelievers. And unbelievers in the midst of this must know the true cost of sacrifice. I did a little research and found that most foreign things they would do, they would actually castrate the animal. So yeah, there's a lot of strange things. It's one of the reasons. So think about it, that you have given your life to the Lord through the perfect sacrifice. That this part of Scripture was all about foreigners coming to follow the God of, you know, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And it was important that these foreigners fully understand what was acceptable, what was not acceptable to the Lord. In the same way, when it comes to unbelievers, coming to Jesus is of the utmost importance that when we present the gospel to the unbeliever, that we fully proclaim the gospel itself and what is required of them. Easy believism is one of the greatest plagues of the American church that we're facing today. We have produced generation of believers to where 60% of believers do not actually believe what the Bible is truly authoritative. Or to put it in a more simple way, it means 60% of believers do not believe the Bible is the authoritative word of God. Verse 26 to 30. When the Lord spoke to Moses saying, then the Lord spoke to Moses saying, when an ox or sheep or a goat is born, it shall remain 7 days with its mother. From the 8th day on, it shall be accepted as a sacrifice of an offering by fire to the Lord. But whether it is an ox or sheep, you shall not kill both it and its young in one day. When you sacrifice the sacrifice of thanksgiving to the Lord, you shall sacrifice it so that you may be accepted. It shall be eaten. On the same day you shall leave none of it until morning. I am the Lord, so you shall keep my commandments and do them. I am the Lord. So there's definitely a repeat there.
Yep.
We need to use God's provision in the time it is meant to be used.
Like the manna?
Ultimately here, we'll see in verses 32, 33. Shall not profane my holy name, but I will be sanctified among the sons of Israel. I am the Lord who sanctifies you, who brought you out of land of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord. So again, we have this obedience is what God wants. That kind of reminded me, you know, this chapter was very short. I'd never say God's word is cut and dry. It was, you know, I did a lot of going into, I usually go through the Kyle Deeds study Bible. I'll listen for some commentaries on YouTube of really reliable preachers. I'll do a little bit of, you know, asking God, what do you want? And I felt like just God just kind of saying, as we're going to close it up, and this has to be the fastest message I ever gave.
Quality.
Yeah. But Leviticus is a shadow of our lives. It's a living sacrifice. In life, we need to sacrifice things: time, devotion, prayer. These are sacrifices of that we come for. But for us, it's, you know, it's not a living animal. You know, it's not something that we grew in our land and we offer up. You know, but it is definitely a continuation of God kind of revealing that a life. A living sacrifice sacrifices things, and in the midst of their obedience to God. So there's part of things, you know, I could do this, I could do that, but there is a lifestyle of sacrifice. There's a lifestyle of denial of things that might be taken for otherwise, like pleasure or food, for instance, fasting. And these are all, in the midst of them, they should be sort of free will offerings. In spirit, and that we come before God and we want to give these things to God. a willing, pure heart in the midst of it. And I'm sure Pastor Mike has maybe something else to share.
I'll try it out.
Wait.
Am I coming through? I am. Okay. The only thing that struck me was when it talks about, you know, when in 22... when it says, you know, when you're on you're in your uncleanness, that person shall be cut off from among my presence.
Mm-hmm.
I am the Lord. And I thought about David, remember, in creating me a clean heart, O God. And then he says, cast me not from thy presence. Take not the Holy Spirit from me. There's a correlation. When David's actually singing that, there's a correlation. He understood the law. And he also understood that he had defiled, you know what I mean? Bathsheba and himself. And it's an insight that's interesting. Now, David was not a high priest, king, but you know what I mean? He was not a high priest. But at the same breath, he understood the concept of being a righteous king, but he also, at that moment, I think he had a real crisis because of, you know, the being cut off from his presence, you know, and he sins with Bathsheba. And what's interesting about David is the mistake is bad. But if you watch when he's praying and crying out to God, there's a real acknowledgement. You know what I mean? He's aware of the law. He's aware of, you know what I'm saying? He's aware of God's commandments about, you know, being unclean, God's commandments, you know, not to do this while you're in your uncleanness. So there's a real gravity in David. But it just struck me when you were saying that. I had never really thought much about that when you were reading that. It just came to my mind that, you know, cast me not away from thy presence. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. It's a lot of what he's saying is because he understood the law of God. He understood the aspect of uncleanness. He understood it. So he's realizing there's a bottom line to that. And one insight I would say, there's almost like a grace. You're seeing a shadow of grace. You get what I'm saying? Because what he does is worthy of a cutoff, it really is. But he cries out for mercy, you know what I'm saying? And he cries out to God, understanding his own unworthiness, but his prayer is, don't let this happen. So it's like almost, I'm not going to say it's a prophetic prayer. Well, it may be a little bit prophetic because David is, you know what I mean? Just, he's catching it, you know? He's done this horrible thing, you know? Uriah's dead, Bathsheba's pregnant, you know, he's been found out, and I think about Psalm, I think it's 51, am I right? Yes, yeah, I think it's 51. Creating me a clean heart of God, you know. But if I'm off, we'll correct it later. But anyway, yeah, no, not so much to add as much as that just when you were teaching that and read that, it just, it clicked like, here's King David, you know, totally blown it. And he's concerned about the presence of God. He's concerned about being cut off from God's presence. And I think one of the things that we would think about, it's more important when something happens that we're concerned about the presence of the Lord. You know what I'm saying? Because you see even some of these, you know, these scandals with big, you know, televangelists, guys that are really famous, guys that are really good teachers. And what's interesting, in the human way, there's a thought of concealment, you know what I'm saying? But you look at David, you know, and yes, he tried to conceal just like most people do. But he has this instinct, you know what I mean? He doesn't want to be cut off from God's presence. And it kind of coincides. I think there's a lot of Leviticus in even Psalm 51 when David's writing it. You're seeing a pulse. Anyway, that was just my only thought. That's really good, man. It's really good. You can pray if you want.
Sure. Pray us under. Lord, we just pray, Lord, for anybody watching or for, you know, if there is any defilement in our lives, God, that you would remove it, the deception, remove it, Lord. And number one thing is make our concern the concern of the, you know, absence of your presence. Help us crave for your presence, God. Help us to sense your presence even more. So we just pray that closeness, we pray that healing upon our hearts, Lord, for all the craziness of our lives. And I just pray that the church in general, Lord, you don't even hear about this, would again crave your presence and long for your presence. And if they feel that presence absent, they would know, Lord, they would return to you, God. So I just pray for an increase of your presence in everybody's lives listening here, both online and present.
Yes.
In Jesus' name.